Alaric Mack was in his living room taking the tags off the new threads he bought at the Chess King outlet when the call came in. "Hey, Mack, this is Herbert down at the jail. Thought you might want to know your client just bonded out." Mack dropped the new 40-pound gold necklace he held in his hand. Upon hearing the news, he was both surprised and embarrassed. Like in school, when you're passing a note to the cute girl in the third row and the teacher intercepts it and reads it to the class.
"He did what? Look, Herbert, you gotta help a brother out. Follow Manhattan wherever he go. I'll make it worth your while."
Alaric pulled on his gold lamé gym shorts and ruby red silk golf shirt and headed for the door. Chase couldn't believe it was this easy. It took the bondsman only a few minutes to draw up the papers, and within an hour, he was free to go. Now, almost midnight, it should be easy to get to the hospital, pick up Rebecca, and catch a flight out of the country. They would disappear like a bad mustard stain in one of those late-night infomercials for spot remover. It's all going to be easy now, Chase thought to himself. I just have to stay cool. Within 10 minutes, Bad Manhattan's thugs had converged on the hospital like it was a sports bar during a football game and they were a bunch of unmarried women. Squiggy was in command and commenced to bark out orders from the front door of the hospital.
"Nobody goes in or out without talking to me first, you got that?" he said. "Chase Manhattan's on his way, and when he gets here, we'll be on him like the airport cops on Barry Switzer."
Meanwhile, Rebecca was plotting a way to get past the nurse's station and into the elevator. Her route to freedom. Wearing a low-cut white blouse and black miniskirt that was so tight it rubbed against her still-healing bullet wound, she darted past the nurses and around the corner. Almost home free, she thought. As she reached the bank of elevators and was about to push the down button, she felt a hand clasped firmly on her shoulder. Outside the county jail, Chase told Abu Daba, the cab driver, to rush him to the hospital. Luckily, Chase still spoke passable Turkish, or he would have never gotten there. As the cab pulled up to the emergency entrance, Chase saw the group of thugs at the door. One was strip-searching a pregnant woman. Another was beating an old woman with a stick.
"Step on it," Chase yelled. The driver did nothing. "You musta fleck drop," Chase repeated, this time in Turkish.
The driver hit the gas and the cab sped away unnoticed. Rebecca, standing at the elevators, closed her eyes tightly. There was no way she could break the grasp of the hand on her shoulder. She took a deep breath and turned around. Standing before her was not that Manhattan or even one of his thugs. It was Dr. Quentin Pepper. He looked at her like nothing was wrong.
"Rebecca, I'm glad I caught you. I was in the lab and something came up in your blood work that puzzled me. Can I talk to you about it?" Rebecca tried to look interested, but she couldn't care less. Like when someone you hardly know is bragging about their kids. She had to get downstairs to meet Chase to start their new life together. She planned her escape.
"Dr. Pepper, hi. Listen, I was just running downstairs to the vending machine to get myself some pork rinds. How about I meet you in my room in 10 minutes?
Dr. Pepper looked at her suspiciously.
"Why are you so dressed up?" he asked.
She thought quickly.
"Oh, I like to look nice when I'm going for pork rinds," she answered coolly.
He seemed to accept her logic.
"Okay," said Dr. Pepper. "See you in your room in 10 minutes.
Just then, the elevator doors opened and Rebecca stepped in, unassaulted. When the doors closed, she took the deepest breath ever and spoke aloud.
"I'm almost there, Chase," she pressed B for basement. "I'm almost there."